Again, is that okay?
Again,
I was struck by something Brother Donnie said when in that message, "A Time of Love," and he said about that baby being in the wilderness and God passing by, and it was a time of love for that baby. How many are any into genealogy? Have done any genealogy in your families and stuff? Look back where you're from and all that. Yeah, yeah. My mom did the same thing. Went all the way back to the 1700s. And it's fascinating stuff. It really is. It's fascinating. But I want to look at that in a little different way today. Now, most of us can remember back to our grandparents, at least, for where they came from or where they were. And sometimes they told us where their mom and dad were and where they came from. But I want us to think about this. The fact that we're born where we're born is no accident. And the fact that we're brought to the place where we hear the gospel is no accident. And the fact that wherever you're family came from, whatever their journey was no accident. My family fled France. They were Huguenots, and they fled France and went to Scotland, went to England, went to Canada, and then I came down here, and now here I am in Elmont. Isn't that amazing? That's all by the providence of God. That I'd be here today preaching the gospel to you all, and that I'd be your pastor, which is a great honor. But I want us to think about how God moved our family members, saved or unsaved, to the various places that they went to, for you to be in the exact place where you heard the gospel. Because the day that you heard the gospel was the gospel day. It was the gospel day for you and for me when we first heard the shepherd's voice in that day. A day set and appointed by God for us to hear the gospel. But in order for us to be in that place where he had purposed and planned for us to hear the gospel, he moved our family members wherever they were. He even moved us. Brother Tom, you've been on 7 different continents. But you were brought to this place to be here today, to be part of this assembly. Isn't that amazing? And God purposed and planned that you'd go to Korea and your wife would be there. He purposed and planned you to marry her. And it's absolutely stunning how intricate and how minute God's sovereignty is. He is an absolute sovereign, beloved. And nothing escapes his eyes. I used to like to play chess. You know, you consider moving them pieces around. Put them in a certain place, strategically. Well, God just moves pieces around however it pleases him. All right? And we may have sprung out of people who the Lord, there was no one saved for generations. And then we sprang out of somebody's loins. Right? Our mother's wombs, to be born exactly where we were supposed to be, so that we'd hear the gospel. Oh my, I'll tell you what. Let's go turn to Isaiah chapter 12. You know, God's appointed a time for every one of his sheep to hear the shepherd's voice. To hear it. To hear it. And we're seeing the scriptures here. It says, in that day, that's the gospel day for God's people. That's the gospel day. Wherever you were when you heard the gospel, God had moved your family members around that you would be in that exact place to hear the shepherd's voice. Now, when we start to think of our salvation in light of that, it is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, I remember hearing Brother Richard. He said he saw Irene. He says, "Man, she was holding the Bible." She says, "I'm going to church." And what did he do? Well, he went to church. Now, he went to church to see Irene, didn't he? But God saved his soul. Now he's up in glory, rejoicing with our dear sister. But you see how he moves in mysterious ways, doesn't he? His wonders to perform. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 to 6. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee." Now there's a day when I didn't praise the Lord. There was many days when I didn't praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what. In that day when I was born again by the Holy Spirit of God, I started to praise him. Did you? Sister, you said you were raised where Scott Richardson was preaching. You heard, but you didn't hear. But one day you heard, didn't you? One day, Brother Travis, you heard the shepherd's voice in that same church. You heard the shepherd's voice calling you. It was all planned and purposed that you'd be there. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. And now you praise him, don't you? Both you guys praise him. It's wonderful. Look at this. "I will praise thee, though thou was angry with me, thine anger's turned away." See, God's anger and his wrath has been appeased in Christ, hasn't it, for the believer? Praise God. His justice is satisfied. His law is complete in Christ. Look at this. "For the Lord Jehovah," and thou comforts me. Well, he comforts us with his salvation. Look at this, the next one. "Behold, Elohim is my salvation. The strong and mighty one is my salvation." I can't save myself, can you? No, not one person in this world can save themselves. "Elohim is my strength, my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah," Yahweh Jehovah, "is my strength and my song. He also is become," what? "My salvation." See, there was a time when I thought I could save myself by my supposed good works. But I found out I didn't have no good works before God. And that's true of all of us. You know, we have a habit to say, "Well, that's a good fella." Well, they might do some good things, right? But we're all a bunch of sinners. We're all a bunch of sinners. There's none good, no, not one, the scripture says. Now, we may be kind to one another, and I think we should. There's nothing more contradictory than someone who says they're saved and they're mean to people. That's not the spirit of Christ. That's not. We have compassion on people now when we never used to. We love the brethren now. We love God. We love Christ. We love the gospel now. Now, I know in our flesh, I know, and we can get upset, and we're usually, I like what Donnie said, we're usually, it's the ones closest to us that feel the wrath of our anger sometimes. But we're not angry all the time, are we? And we usually turn around and say, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I was like that." But look at this. This is a wondrous. "Jehovah is my strength. He's my song." I have a song of praise now on my lips, do you? Never had that before. He's my song. He's become my salvation. He's my all in all. Christ saved my soul. He gave himself for me. He saved me from all my sins. "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." I'll tell you what, the wells of salvation, they're so deep and so cool and so refreshing. Just drink out of the well of justification. Oh, justification in Christ. Just drink that cool water, being justified by faith in Christ. Just drink of that the well of redemption. Oh, Christ's blood has redeemed me from all my sin. Oh, that's such cool water to my soul. Oh my, it's wonderful. And in that day shall you say. Now it doesn't say, in that day, if you choose to choose Jesus, you know, if you just make him Lord of your life, if you just decide, make a decision for Christ, it doesn't say that, does it? That verse does not say that. It does not say that. You see, God must make a work in us. God must reveal himself to us. It says, in that day, shall ye. How shall we? By the power of God, beloved. By the power of God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the power of God. In that day shall ye praise the Lord. Praise Jehovah. The lips that once cursed him now praises him. That's a miracle of grace, beloved. That's a miracle. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Oh, he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Christ is the only Savior of sinners. You can't save yourself. Neither can I. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. I stand before you, a man, a sinner. But I'm saved. I'm a saved sinner. Praise be to God. Not by anything I've done, no. But all because of Christ, in his mercy, in his grace. That's the only reason. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. Has he not done excellent things? He's all our wisdom, right? He's all our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. He's our justification. And he's now our mediator, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I, beloved. He's doing excellent things, isn't he? He keeps us in the way. If he didn't keep us in the way, we'd be like this. This is how we'd be. We'd be like this. We'd be like, I'm going in the way, and we'd be gone. Right? But he keeps us in the way. He keeps us in that straight path, beloved. He keeps us. Praise God for preserving grace. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. And it's proclaimed in all the earth, isn't it? Then it says, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. And that's God's people. For great is who? The Holy One of Israel. Remember those demons? They said, we know who thou art, thou Holy One of God. And they trembled. That legion of demons that was in that man. He's the Holy One. He's the righteous one. He's the sinless one. And he's the only Savior of sinners. And God's people say, he's my Savior. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I'm going to see him again one day. All because of his grace and his mercy. Nothing that I've done. If I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell forever. But God in his mercy saved me. Saved me. And look at this, in the midst of thee. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. He's with us, beloved. He's in the midst of us. Isn't that wonderful? He's not a far off God. Like these people used to cry, these rocks and stones. It's a piece of rock. It can't do nothing. He's right beside us, beloved. He's ever with us. He said this. And take this to heart, God's people. Take this to heart, God's elect. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Yeah, that means never. In the Greek, that word, I'll never, means never, not ever, no, never. It's in the triple negative. Now, that's a promise, isn't it? That's a promise from our God. So in every believer's life, they've been brought to a place where they will hear the gospel. And it's not up to them. See, religion says, oh, it's up to you. God's done all he can do. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If God's done everything he can do, you'd be saved. God doesn't have to try to save his people. He saves his people from their sins. See, he's not a weak God. He's not, like Henry used to say, a peanut God. You know? He's not up there wringing his hands going, oh, please choose me. Please. Please, little human, choose me. He's not like that. He moves and he saves his people from their sins and they rejoice. They magnify the name of the Lord because we know if he hadn't chosen us, we'd never choose him. Right? He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. That includes saving ourselves. Nothing. And he says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Oh my. And God has an appointed time for each one of his sheep to hear the shepherd's voice. See verse 1 here, it speaks of that day. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord. See, before we were born again, we didn't cry out, O Lord, unless we were caught doing something. Right? That was me. Oh, Lord, I'll never do that again. Next Friday, I was doing the same thing all over again. Right? Oh, my. But God's people, when they're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, they cry out. They cry out, oh, Lord, I praise thee. Oh, my Savior, my Redeemer. Save me, Lord, or I'm going to perish. What that old publican say? You know, that old Pharisee, he's up there. Well, I thank you. I'm not like that fellow over there. I give this and I give that. You know, big old religious man, right? And here's that publican. He can't even raise his head up to heaven. And he just cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that publican went home justified. That Pharisee went to hell. He's a religious man. Everybody said, well, if anybody's going to heaven, surely it's this Pharisee over here. Nope. Right to hell. If the Lord didn't save him, he went right to hell. But that old sinner over there, just like me, just like you who are God's people, he said, oh God, please be merciful to me, the sinner. And God had mercy on him, didn't he? You know, God will have mercy on those who cry out to him. They have mercy. I've not seen him turn a sinner away that comes to him yet. I'll tell you why. Some say, well, I'm such a sinful man. You don't know my sin, Brother Wayne. Well, I know you're self-righteous because you're saying that. Because God says in Christ, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I know how bad my sin was, and God forgave me of all my sin. My, and every believer will tell you the same thing here, right? Oh my. So our first point here is there's a gospel day for every believer. There's a day when God will save his people. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. There's a day, beloved. There's a day. Look at Luke chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to thy house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Look at that. This day. See, there was a day. There was a day set. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. There's a sinner there. And this is his gospel day. This is his time of love, like Donnie was saying. This is the time of love for him. My, oh, my. Ezekiel says this, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people. He gathers his elect from the people. He saves whomever he wills, doesn't he? Whenever he wills. I'll even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries. You all are from the U.S. I'm from Canada. We're assembled here. from the countries. Annie and I are both Canadians. We are bought by the Lord down here to fellowship with you all. It's wonderful. Where you have been scattered, and I'll give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and the abominations thereof from thence. I'll give them one heart. Isn't that amazing? We now have one heart together. What does our heart hunger and thirst for now? Christ, whose righteousness. Scripture says that we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, Christ is our righteousness. That's Christ. That's speaking about Christ. We got a new heart now that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for Christ. He says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give him one heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. Oh, my. You know, we're born again by the same Spirit, aren't we? The Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? God gave us a new heart that hungers and thirsts after him. And it's not a literal heart, right? We still got our old thumper in here. But now we have a heart of flesh, don't we? A heart that hungers for Christ. He's talking spiritual things here, beloved. New spirit within you. And I'll take the stony heart of their flesh. Oh, that old stony heart we were born with. That didn't have any care for Christ or the gospel or the Bible. And I'll take the stony heart of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances, do them. And they shall be my people. And I will be their God. That's in Ezekiel chapter 11 verses 17 to 20. But I love what he says here. They shall be my people. Is there any doubt if God says they shall be my people? Is there any doubt that they're going to be his people? There's no doubt. And I will be their God. Is there any doubt then that we're going to worship him? No. See, we're made willing in the day of God's power to flee to Christ. Because he gives us a new heart, beloved. We have a new spirit. You know, we have the same Father now. God the Father. Isn't it amazing? Born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We have a new view of our sin now. Now we own our sin. When we before, well, that person made me do that. I have a friend that he's always saying, well, such and such caused me to do that, or it's your fault. No, it's yours. Own your sin, man. Right? That's what we do as God's people now. We own our sin. I'm the one who sinned. No one caused me to do that. Do you see? We go right back. See, and this is a result of the fall, right? Adam takes that fruit and he says, oh, Lord, it's the woman you gave me. It's her fault. And then Eve goes, well, Lord, it's the snake. No, they did it of their own volition, didn't they? Oh, my goodness. We are so wired to be that way. And our sins make us deserving of hell. We now see that. We didn't see it before. I didn't see myself. I thought I was a good person. I thought that God would put me in the scales and weigh me. Weigh me as a result against an axe murderer. Well, oh yeah, Wayne, you're great. No, 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 Wayne, you're worse. Right? Oh, my. So we see ourselves now deserving sin. We see ourselves guilty before God, just like the law says. See, that's what the law of God does. It brings us to a point where we see ourselves guilty before God. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And on that day we flee to Christ. He's the only Savior of sinners. And may God be pleased, if you do not know him, may he be pleased that this would be your gospel day. Whether it be someone here or someone out on the internet. Oh, oh, that he'd show you your need for Christ, just like he's done for we sinners who believe. And that's all we are. We're just saved sinners. And there's a day set and appointed by God for every believer to hear the shepherd's voice. Look at this. Galatians 1. starting in verse 11 and going to verse 17. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. God must reveal himself to us, or we never, ever will know him. We'll grope around in darkness unless he reveals himself to us. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion. That means his lifestyle. Conversation there means his lifestyle. In times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So here's Paul writing to the Galatians. He said, I used to waste the church of God, which waste in there in the Greek is destroy. I went around destroying the church of God. That's what he's telling them. He's telling them what happened when the Lord saved him. He said, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He sought to destroy the church of the living God. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Now profited there, we right away think money. What that means is he was a maverick. He was a Mustang. What you call a Mustang in the armed forces. Starts off as an enlisted man, becomes an officer. He was far above the other Jews. There had been Jews who'd been studying, Pharisees who'd been studying for 20, 30 years. He was far exceeding them. That's what that means. It doesn't mean he's profiting in money. It means he was far exceeding them in knowledge. Some think he may have been in line to be the high priest, the next high priest. We will never know. But he was exceedingly zealous of the traditions of his fathers. Look at this. Here's the gospel day. But when it pleased God. That's true of every one of us. When it pleased God, beloved. There's a gospel day. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. To what? To reveal his son in me. There's his gospel day, beloved. In that day. He went from one cursing God, cursing Christ, right? Thinking he was a heretic, to one who praises God and preached Christ and him crucified. That's a miracle of grace. Look at this. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. That's what he does for every believer. To reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He was riding on his horse to go to Damascus to kill Christians, right? And to haul them out of their homes. God didn't appear to him and say, well, Paul, if you choose me, I've done everything I could for you. If you get off your horse and you come and choose me, then I'm going to make you a special vessel. He was already a chosen vessel. He was one of God's elect from eternity. He was one who God the Father chose in Christ from eternity. He didn't know it. He had no clue. Did you know it? I had no clue. Before the Lord saved me, I had no clue at all. And Christ was revealed to him. He got knocked off his horse, didn't he? He got knocked off his horse. And look at that. What happened? To reveal son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He's born again by the Holy Spirit of God, beloved. Remember what he said? Who art thou, Lord? His tune changed real fast, didn't it? Oh, my. So when it's appointed of God, every one of his lost sheep shall hear his voice. And that'll be the gospel day. Now you might not be able to remember that day. Some people can. Some people can't. But I'll ask you this. Who are you trusting in right now? Who's your all in all right now? Are you trusting in anything you do to get you to heaven? Because if you are, that's a false refuge. But if you're trusting Christ and him alone, Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? What is one result of this wonderful day? Look again back in Isaiah chapter 1, or 12, I mean. In that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. For thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. What's one of the things now? Now we have a new song in our heart. We have a new song. Now we have a new master, beloved. We have a new master. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, do you know the world cannot contain all the books written? If all that was written about what he did on this earth, the whole world couldn't even contain all of it. He's so wonderful. And you know, when we praise him, oh, we praise him from our heart now, don't we? But you know, one day we're going to praise him. Look at Brother Newell right now. He's praising God the way he wants to. He's praising God. He got no sin now. Isn't that wonderful? He's up there with all the saints of God, born again, blood-washed saints of God. And he's saying, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. So it's no wonder. No wonder we have a new song in our hearts. God saved us. He saved us. And is it not true that we can't even find the words to express how we feel? We feel like these words aren't even, they don't even come close to how I feel in my heart. Brother Donnie says that when we were sitting there with Norm and them, he said, oh, if I could only preach how my heart feels. It's true. He's wondrous, beloved. He's amazing. And then I'd like us to consider now, who's our salvation? Our salvation's God. God is my salvation. Is he yours? The Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. My, oh my. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Lord. My, oh my. Look at verse 1. Why is he our salvation and our... Because he did it all. It says, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away. Thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation, verse 2. He's my salvation from beginning to end. And everything in between. Is he yours? I'll tell you, there's no hope outside of Christ. You put a pinprick of your works in, it's no longer grace. Salvation is by the Lord, the scripture declares. Salvation is of the Lord. All of it. So God is our salvation. God himself. Now, some may say, well, how can I know that? How can I know that God's anger is turned away from me? How can I know that I'm a saved person? How can I know that? Well, are you trusting Christ? Is he everything to you? Turn, if you would, to 1 John, and then put your fingers in Romans chapter 8. 1 John chapter 5 and Romans chapter 8. Can a man or woman be quite sure that they're forgiven? Well, the Catholic Church says, well, that's being awful presumptuous. Well, that's because they don't speak anything but lies there. They give people a false sense of security, and it's called a refuge of lies. I came out of that. I know what it's like. But in Christ, beloved, in Christ, Christ is God. He was no mere man. He's God incarnate in the flesh. He's the sinless one. He's the perfect one. Look at this in 1 John 5. This is absolutely wonderful. We can be sure of a pardon in Christ. Look at this. 1 John 5, verse 11 to 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life. And this is life is where? Where is it? It's in his Son. So God has given us a record that eternal life is only in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son? Are you born again by the Holy Spirit of God? Do you have the Son? Have you cast yourself upon him and said, Lord, Lord, I'm such a sinner. He that hath the Son. Do you have the Son? I have the Son. I have eternal life. Hallelujah.
Isn't it wonderful?
Not by anything I've done. I didn't merit it, did you? No, we deserve hell, don't we? But God, by his grace, saves his people from their sins. And look at this. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. You don't have the Son, you don't have life. If you're trusting in your own works, you don't have life. If you think you're good enough to go to heaven by something you do or something you said in your life, you don't have life. You may have physical life, but you don't have eternal life. Look at this. He that hath the Son hath life. These things have I written unto you that believe. So these were written for us, beloved. Right? John's writing to God's people. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. That's gnosko in the Greek. That's an intimate knowledge. That ye may know. Now, do we doubt sometimes? Yeah. Because of our sinfulness. But look at this. We can go back here and go, I know that I have eternal life. Because he that hath the Son hath life. I have the Son. By God's grace and mercy, I have the Son. More importantly, he has me. He has me. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you believe on the name of the Son of God? That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. With that in our minds. Oh, we can know that we have eternal life. Look at this. Now, there are a lot of folks in the church right now going through things. Oh, my. I'll tell you what. But let's look at this verse and just these verses and marvel here. Romans chapter 8. Rejoice, beloved, because these sufferings that you're going through right now are only temporary. They're past. Look at this. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 18. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is the same chapter that Paul opens up in verse 1 and says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the Spirit but after the flesh. And condemnation there in the Greek is judgment. No judgment. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now, we've been going through that study in Galatians. We've learned we're free. We're justified by Christ. We're not under the law anymore. We're free, aren't we? It's wonderful. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now we cry out to the King. He's our Father. The Spirit itself bear it witness with our spirit that we are, look at this, the children of God. Isn't that wonderful? And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, so if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. All these things we go through is just temporary. Just temporary. But oh, when we get the glory. That's why we rejoice when a brother or sisters go home to Christ. We cry, we shed tears, but we rejoice that they're now in the presence of the Savior because their sufferings have ended. Their sufferings have ended. And beloved of God, are you faced with a trial right now? Are you weighed down by a trial? Has it cast you down? Let us be comforted with this. The trials which we now face, the storms of life which we go through, will cease. Will cease. And they cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. So is there any reason to wonder why the Christian rejoices in this life? That we rejoice in our great God and Savior? Is there any reason to consider or any reason to even doubt that? No. No, not at all. We have joy in our hearts now. And we can't find the words. We can't find the words even to explain what a wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's our salvation. Jehovah's our salvation. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 15. You know, I have to remind myself, when a trial or a situation comes up, not to get anxious. Trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. Just trust Him. And I remind myself, do you find yourself reminding yourself, God, you're my salvation. You're my salvation. Whom shall I fear? No. So when we do fear, because we will, when we do doubt, let us remember that God's our salvation. He's our rock. He's our refuge. Look at this. Look at this in Exodus 15. After the Lord had drowned the great army of the Egyptians in the Red Sea. Look at this. Exodus 15, verses 1 to 7. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The rider and the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare for him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. My. See, the God of the Bible, he's no one to mess with. He's no one to mess with. That's the God of the Bible there. He's not no weak God. He's strong and mighty. And I'll tell you what, the Egyptians, they had one of the strongest armies during that time. And he destroyed them. He just had that sea just fall upon them. And it says here, right? They drowned in the Red Seas. His chosen captains, his chosen men. Men of great renown. Gone just like that. And it says the depths have come. They sank to the bottom as a stone. His people are saved by him parting the seas. And they walk through that dry ground. And then the enemies of God come rushing in. And they're consumed by the water. My. Christ is the strength of spiritual Israel, isn't he? He's the strength of his church. He's the author and the giver of strength to his people. He strengthens us to do his will and to resist temptation. He gives us strength to overcome every enemy. Well, we can't do it on our own, but he's everything for us. He's my strength and my song. Is he yours? Behold, again, look at verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 12. Behold, God is my salvation. God is my salvation. Christ is God. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. For he's the salvation of all those the Father gave him, isn't he? Oh, do you know he's all my hope for salvation? Is he yours? I see a bunch of nodding your head. He's all our hope. We don't have any hope outside of Christ, do we? None. None. He's all my hope for my eternal soul. I rest my eternal soul on Christ, in Christ alone. He's the only one who can save sinners. I have no other hope. I have no other hope but Christ for eternal life. I have no other refuge. I can't find refuge in myself. For the salvation of my soul, because I can't save myself. I'm a sinner. And again, I'm a saved sinner now, but I'm still a sinner. And he's all my refuge. You know, I fled to him for refuge, have you? Oh my. And I don't have any other redemption. I can't offer anything to God to save myself. But he's my redemption. He offered himself up for me. And I wasn't even born. Isn't that amazing? And neither were you. It's amazing. We don't have any other sacrifice, right? The Israelites had to bring sacrifice to the priest and then they'd offer it up to God. We don't have anything to offer. There's nothing. We're just sinners from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. What do we have to offer? But he's our sacrifice, beloved. He offered himself up to God in our room and place. Oh, it's wonderful. We have no other salvation than Christ. That's why we say, along with the writer Isaiah, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. And this wonderful salvation comes to us in Christ. We do not seek it out, because the scripture says there's none that seeketh after God. The only time we seek Christ is when we're made willing in the day of God's power. And praise God he does that. Because otherwise none of us would be saved. But he makes us willing. And I believe we're born again. I believe we're born again because before we flee to Christ. Because when we're born again, like Brother Rupert said, a team of wild horses couldn't stop us from coming to Christ. So he regenerates us. We're born again by his Holy Spirit. And then we run right to him. Made willing in the day of God's power. Oh, it's wonderful. We don't seek it out. Did the lost sheep seek out the shepherd? We're the lost sheep. Who sought out the lost sheep? The shepherd. Luke 15, the shepherd went and sought out that lost sheep, didn't he? And he found them. You know, God will find everyone. The Lord Jesus Christ will find every one of his lost sheep. Did he not find us? He found us, didn't he? And we were right where we were supposed to be. Again, let's bring it right back home. We were right where we were supposed to be by God's divine providence to hear the shepherd call our name. He says, you're mine. You're mine. I bought you. I purchased you at Calvary's cross. Thou art mine. My, oh my. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Oh my. He's all our salvation. He's all our salvation. He's everything to us. He's everything to us. Luke chapter 9. Let's turn there quick. Luke chapter 19. I'm sorry. I got the wrong. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Put my notes away. Let's look at this here. This is absolutely amazing. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. This was all according to God's divine purpose. Do you know there was a sycamore tree that grew in front of a seed? All according to the purpose and will of God. Some people might have thought, what's that sycamore tree for by the road there? Why is that sycamore tree growing there? How come someone hasn't chopped it down yet? And there'd be other people say, I like that sycamore tree. Well, that sycamore tree was there for a reason. All according to God's divine purpose. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, think of this. Here he comes into Jericho. There's all these people doing their thing, right? In the markets and stuff. How many people did he just pass by? He just passed them by. Didn't say a word to them. Think of that. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, the publicans worked for the Romans, and they collected taxes for the Romans. And he was rich, because they would extort people and take extra money for taxes. So they collected money for the Romans, and they were hated amongst the Jews. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He's like, I heard this is Jesus? Who is he? But the scripture says he's a short man. So he's probably trying to look, couldn't see over all these people. He's looking around thinking, I can't see him. I can't see him. And there was a great press of people, it says. And could not for the press because he was little stature. And so because of the crowd, he couldn't see Christ. He just wanted to see him. That's all he wanted to do, was just see him. And he ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree. Well, it just happened to be there. No. All planned and purposed by God to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Here's Zacchaeus up in a tree. You know what the Lord saw? There's one of my lost sheep. He's up a tree. And he knew he was short. He made him, didn't he? He knew he couldn't see, but that tree was there for a reason, wasn't it? And I like what Donnie said. Donnie Bell one time said he climbed up that tree, and when he came down, he was skin and bark all the way down. He'd come down so fast, which we'll see later on. He just climbed, but he climbed the tree. And the Lord saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. As far as we know, he had never met Zacchaeus, right? He knew his name, didn't he? As far as we know, the Lord never met him. Because here's Zacchaeus. He says, well, I heard about this guy. I just want to see him. He calls him by name, beloved. Do you know he calls every one of his sheep by name? Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must, look at that, I must abide at thy house. I must. And he made haste, which means he hurried. He was skin and bark coming down there. And received him joyfully. Oh, Zacchaeus received him joyfully. Never met him, but he receives him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured that he was going to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful he's going to go and be with a sinner, because that's what I am. See, so when I see this, I have such wonder and amazement. They grumbled. They murmured. They were grumbling about this. He's going to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. He's not going with those. He's not sitting with the Pharisees. He's going with that publican. That sinner. Well, praise God. That's good news for sinners, isn't it? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, he calls him Lord. Look at that. He calls him Lord right away. The half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from him, from any man, by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. This is a new man here. He's been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, beloved. He's seen I was doing wrong. And I'm going to give it all back, Lord. And Jesus said unto him, This day, salvation is come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. My, oh my, look at that though. That was Zacchaeus' gospel day, beloved. That was his day. Oh my, isn't that wonderful? Isn't God so good to his people? He saves us from all our sin by the shedding of his precious, precious blood. All because he's loved us from eternity. It's truly, God's salvation is truly amazing. His grace is truly amazing. We're nothing but hell-deserving sinners. And yet he saves his people from their sins. And you know what? We're going to get to spend eternity with him in heaven because of absolutely nothing we've done. But all because of what Christ Jesus the Lord did in our room and place. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brother Dan, can you close us in prayer?